Praise God. I'm just going to share a short hour or two. A short word tonight. Christmas Eve meditation. Tonight, Christmas Eve, I'm speaking to you tonight about the power of good news. You know, near the end of the Second World War, behind enemy lines in Nazi Germany, there were many prison camps, prisoner of war camps. And they were horrendous places, brutal places. They were overseen by the most brutal of inhuman commandants and guarded by brutal Nazi guards who had very little sympathy for the American and French and English prisoners of war and others who were held captive there. And those prisoners suffered terribly. They were beaten without mercy. They were kept isolated from their fellow prisoners in solitary confinement for just the slightest offence against their Nazi captors. It was hell on earth. And the brutal Nazi guards watching these men and women behind the fences saw that these people had a sense of hopelessness, a sense of desperation. There was no hope in those prisoners. They walked with faces that were downcast. Their shoulders were hunched. They scarcely spoke, not even to each other. No hope, just a deep feeling of despair. And it wasn't just one or two prisoners who felt like that. It was actually almost all the prisoners in those prison camps. Beaten, despairing, hopeless. But suddenly, one morning, in the particular prison camp we're talking about, there was a change. The prisoners were still behind the fences, but there was something different. They were still locked up. The guards were still there. They were still starving. The prisoners were still starving. Many of them were still sick, but the guards noticed a major difference. Even in the midst of all their suffering, the prisoners looked different somehow. They seemed happier. They no longer walked hunched over. They were walking erect. They were smiling at each other and talking with each other. They were gathering together in small huddles and laughing and clapping each other on the back. And every now and then, the guards could hear a whoop of excitement that seemed to come from nowhere. The guards were saying to one another, "What is going on? What could have happened to bring about such a change? What could possibly have happened to bring an instantaneous change from absolute despair to happiness and deep joy?" The guards just could not understand. But you see, what they didn't know was that a little radio had been smuggled into camp. And what they didn't know was that the prisoners had been listening to this radio. And they'd received the news that the Allied forces had already landed in Europe and were marching victoriously across inland, had reached Germany, and they were marching towards the prison camp. And pretty soon, they were going to be there within a couple of days. Liberation was about to happen. Freedom was just around the corner. And the good news that they soon would be freed had changed everything. The power of good news. The external circumstances hadn't changed, but the news had, and that news awakened hope. Listen to the angel as he announces the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem to the shepherds. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." The power of good news. Let's see how this applies to us on Christmas Eve. Firstly, let's remind ourselves what it's really like to be a human in this world in which we live. Let's remind ourselves of the human condition, so to speak. As we look around the world, we discover that in many ways, humanity is just like those prisoners in that prison camp so long ago. Too often, suffering seems to break into our lives without warning, so to speak. Suddenly, in New South Wales and South Australia this week, so many houses and homes and even lives have been lost through these terrible fires, leaving a sense of hopelessness and even despair. amongst many in the community. We see it in our personal lives too, don't we? A child becomes ill, ends up in hospital, a time of worry, anxiety. A young father is killed in a car accident. On a global level, tens of thousands of children are dying of starvation without hope. We have family and dear friends in South Africa right now, and some of them are listening to this sermon on our website. And these dear people suffer as their nation goes through incredible pain. Just a little while ago, electricity was cut off all over the nation of South Africa, cut off for most of the day, day after day after day. Even now, they are living with load shedding. They're living with load shedding, and they're losing 5 hours of electricity every day. Lawlessness is everywhere in South Africa. People are murdered and raped on a daily basis. And surrounded by these terrible circumstances, our friends cry out to the Lord. There's a sense of despair, a sense of hopelessness, and their only hope seems to be in the return of Jesus. And so they cry out, they pray, come, Lord Jesus. Come, Lord Jesus. There's a sense of hopelessness in their society. Yet that's been the story of mankind, really, hasn't it? There's always a struggle. There's always suffering. Ever since Adam sinned, sin has done its best to destroy us and it's done a good job. The ice addict who can't get through without another hint. The family blowing apart because of mum's alcoholism. The precious parents who struggle with poverty right here in Australia and are desperate to keep food on the table to feed their kids. Sin has blasted the human race. There would be no death if there was no sin. There'd be no suffering, no poverty, no cruelty, no torture, no crime, no murder, no racism, and no rape. It really would be paradise on earth, but sin has marked it all, marred it, destroyed it. Just like those dreadful fires last week, they destroyed and continue to destroy people's homes and livelihood. Sin is just like that. It has blasted the human race. Remember that true story I told you some time ago about the American submarine USS S-4? It's an old story, but it's a true one, Steve, isn't it? Steve's an expert. He's an engineer with the Submarine Corporation. Or is that secret? Now, this submarine sank to the ocean floor off the coast of Massachusetts in 1927. As a result of an American Navy accident. There were 40 crewmen on board when that submarine went to the bottom. Immediately, rescue operations were launched. Divers were sent down to the sunken submarine to see if a rescue could be made. And as they came close to one of the forward torpedo rooms, they heard the rhythmic tapping coming from inside the hull. 6 men were trapped inside, still alive, and they were tapping out a desperate message in Morse code on the side of the hull. Is there hope? Is there hope? That's what was being tapped out on the hull. Is there hope? Is there hope? And you know, and I think that if you put your ear close to the heartbeat of humanity in our world tonight, this Christmas time, you hear the same message. Is there hope? Is there hope? That cry tumbles forth from the 400,000 Rohingya refugees from Myanmar, still crowded into hopeless conditions in the refugee camps in Bangladesh. That cry comes from the community and families of women who have been raped and killed in India. That cry comes from the thousands living in poverty and fear in South Africa. Is there hope? We hear it too in the cries of the thousands of our farmers suffering through one of the worst droughts that Australia has ever seen. We can hear it in the cries of the New Guinean people just to the north of us who are living with violence every day. We can hear it also from the thousands in our own country who are sleeping rough and are homeless, from the tens of thousands of women all over the world who suffer at the hand of abusive husbands. Is there hope? Is there hope? We hear that question in the whimperings of countless thousands of children across the world who are every day dying from starvation. We can hear it amplified in the agonizing cries of the families who love them. Listen as well to the voices of the long-term unemployed, to the desperate, to the returned veterans of many of the wars that we've been involved in Australia who are now suffering post-traumatic stress. Is there hope? Is there hope? Listen to those whose minds have been addled with legal drugs and illegal drugs. Hear the cries of the victims of child abuse. Listen again to the ones who just can't seem to get ahead or who are bored to the point of distraction. Listen to the lonely, the depressed. Listen to the cancer sufferer, to the sick, the poor and the dying. Is there hope? Is there hope? This world needs good news. Amen. The world needs something that can break like the dawn across the bleakness of our suffering and bring the promise of hope. That's what Christmas means. That's what Christmas brings. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. I have a feeling that if we could but communicate that good news that the angels brought to a desperate, anxious, dying world, it would make a difference. It wouldn't free us from our obligation to help. It wouldn't free us from our obligation to stand against violence and the abuse of women, to get very tough with pedophiles, to help with the homeless and the starving. It wouldn't free us from our obligation to love the unlovely and forgive those who hurt us, but it would give people a firm place upon which to stand when everything around them is shifting. In this uncertain world, we need certainty. Amidst the instability that faces so many people in modern living, we need the stability that the good news of Christmas brings. We need to unleash the power of the greatest good news ever to hit the human race. It's great because it's good news that speaks powerfully to humanity's need. Let's look briefly at the effects of that good news. The angel said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Joy, great joy, is in short supply in this world. How can there be great joy in the midst of so much suffering? But the heavenly messenger is clear. The good news of Christmas, once understood, will bring great joy to many people. For just like the news that freedom would soon come to those prisoners in the POW camp brought real joy to them, so the message that Jesus has come brings real joy into the lives of those who turn to him. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter what your ethnic background is. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter if you're a professional or tradie. It doesn't matter if you're a business person or unemployed. It doesn't matter if you're educated or uneducated, young or old, married or unmarried, male or female. It's a message of good news to all people. And it can make a difference to everyone, no matter what their background. The good news of Jesus. The power of good news. It can have an incredible effect on all who will listen. But why? Why does this particular good news have this particular effect? Hallelujah. The angel said, I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. For today, in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. Here is the core of this good news. First of all, it's relevant. It's for today. Today, a Saviour has been born. A Saviour for the human race. Someone who can save the human race. Today, someone who can break the power of sin that has plagued humanity for century after century. Someone who can cut through the despair and loneliness and pain that sin has brought into the world. Someone who can break through the alienation from God that has been so much a part of a human existence since Adam first sin. Someone who can bring hope to a hopeless world and light in the darkest night. This one has just been born. And about 30-something years later, this baby, now a young man, Jesus, would stand up in the temple courts and he would proclaim to all who would listen, I am the light of the world. For most of us who are not Jewish in background, it's easy to miss the significance of what Jesus has just said, or what he said then. He spoke those words late at night during the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. Now, this was a special feast at which the Jewish people remembered the 40 years that their forefathers had wandered in the wilderness. This was the time when they remembered how God had cared for them. Even there in that harsh environment, he had looked after them every one of those 40 years. But one of the most spectacular events associated with this Feast of Tabernacles was very similar to the fireworks that we have when we have a big feast or a celebration today. Because on the last, or at night, they had this celebration of fire. In Jesus' day, this ceremony was called the illumination of the temple. Four huge candelabra or menorah would be set up in the temple courts. Four huge menorah. And they had huge bowls of oil in the place of candles. And the candlesticks, those menorahs, stood almost 8 meters high. They towered over everything else in Jerusalem. And at a given signal, a young man would scurry up each one of those four candlesticks, light the huge bowls of oil above him, and the resulting light would burst upon the night sky and illuminate the whole of the city of Jerusalem for hours. The darkness was pushed back, and the light had come. And it is on this particular occasion, in AD 30-something, as the four huge candlesticks are lit, and as the light from them breaks out into the darkened streets of Jerusalem, lighting every nook and cranny in that city, that Jesus stands up in the temple next to these huge menorah and calls out, "You know what? I am the light of the world." Can you imagine that? This statement underscores the message of the angels. Prophecy had said that the light would eventually shine out through the Messiah to the whole world, Jew and Gentile alike, and he would bring hope to all who would turn to him. The light of the world had come. He was born in Bethlehem. The prophet said it would happen. The ancient prophet Isaiah said that the Messiah would bring light to his people, and Matthew shows us in his gospel that this was fulfilled in the coming of Jesus. In Matthew 4:16, quoting Isaiah 9:1-2, Matthew says, "The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." Hallelujah. If ever a world needs light, it's our world. Darkness is on every side, but Jesus is the light of the world, and he has come to bring light into the darkest nooks and crannies of our world, of your world. You know, I hear people say to me, and just last week, someone said to me, "I don't know where our world is going. What's going on? Why is there so much pain? Why is there so much darkness?" Well, there is darkness, but you can find the light if you turn to Jesus. Hallelujah. If you turn to Jesus, you can find the light, because he is the light of the world. And I've got good news. God's got good news for you, for everybody. The power of good news. The human condition may be hopeless, even despairing. And it's getting worse and worse, isn't it? It's getting worse and worse. It may be hopeless. It may be despairing. It may be desperate. But I want to tell you this, the coming of Jesus is good news that speaks to our greatest need. And whatever your need is here tonight, Jesus can speak to it and touch you. You say, "Well, Pastor Ralph, I'm really sick. Can he hear me?" Yes, he can. But not only that, he can give you strength to go through whatever you're required to go through in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. He can do it. He does it. He does it. Many people here have suffered. Some have been healed miraculously, and others have been given strength. But I want to tell you, the coming of Jesus is good news that speaks to your greatest need. Problems in your family, your children going crazy, things are not going right for you. I want to tell you, as you hand all that over to Jesus, he can bring light into your world, into your family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want to invite you back on Sunday. Praise God. As we meet again at 11 o'clock, Pastor Chris will be preaching. All sorts of things will be happening in the hour and a quarter if it's 40 degrees temperature. And it'll be time where, again, you can see how much Jesus loves you. But tonight, this Christmas can be the best Christmas of your life if you have never, ever recognized who Jesus is. If you've never, ever given your life to Him, tonight can be your night to change. I'm going to lead you in a prayer right now. I'm going to ask everybody to close their eyes. I'm going to ask everybody just to, those who don't know Jesus, to pray this prayer in their hearts tonight. You don't have to say it out loud. You can just say it in your heart. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came. That you came as a baby in the manger. But I thank you that you didn't stay in the manger. That you grew up. And that you died on the cross for me. And I thank you for the good news that you've become a Savior. And Lord, I want you to save me. I want you to forgive me of my sin. Lord, I want you to sweep into my life, into my family. Make it new. Lord, change me. Bring light into my darkness. At this Christmas time, in Jesus' name, amen. The power of good news. Hey, you know what? We really do wish you a Merry Christmas. And we're going to stand and we're going to sing that tonight. How's that? We kept our word. It's only a couple minutes late. But we're going to sing that song. We wish you a Merry Christmas, and just like on Sunday, we want you just to walk around, shake each other by the hand, wish them a Merry Christmas, and just bless each other in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. God bless you. Amen. God bless you.